Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 59 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
Certainly, we were disappointed in the outcome of the vote. Our building is only slated to house 716 students. We have over 1,050.
Johnson County Assistant Superintendent Harry Burchett says capacity expansion is one of the reasons the school district sorely needed the nickel tax that county residents voted down this week. Some of Kentucky's labor unions are uniting to fight the state's right-to-work law, and Governor Matt Bevin is squaring off against the Lexington Herald Leader. In sports, Moorhead State Baseball continues OVC tournament action at 5 o'clock. Bud Luke will bring us the stock report, and there's a lessening chance of rain showers tonight with lows in the mid-50s. A full check of the forecast after this news. A former Girl Scout leader accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars worth of Girl Scout cookies is scheduled to be arraigned in court tomorrow. EKBTV reports Lee Ann Vick of Auxshire is expected to appear in Pike County Circuit Court following her arrest last week. Vick was indicted earlier this month for allegedly stealing $15,000 to $20,000 worth of cookies during her time as a troop leader in Floyd County. Haley McGraw is the marketing director of Girl Scouts of Kentucky's Wilderness Road chapter.
We will recover the cookies, but we will have to destroy them because we just can't verify the integrity of those any longer. They could be damaged or tampered with. In total, it was 6,250 boxes of cookies that were compromised.
McGraw says the scout troop is looking for public support to make up for the loss. She invites people to visit gskentucky.org to make a donation. A former Boyd County Boy Scout troop leader, already accused of seeking sexual favors from a minor, now faces new charges of possession of child pornography. According to the Ashland's Daily Independent, Paul Crace of Catlettsburg was arrested Tuesday by the Boyd Sheriff's Department. Crace is facing trial for alleged messages sent in May of 2015 after supposedly appearing as a Facebook user called Steve Crace. He reportedly attempted to negotiate a price for sexual favors from a Boy Scout who was younger than 15. Crace was indicted on that charge in August of 2015. Sheriff Bobby Jack Wood says deputies discovered images of at least two young boys on Crace's cell phone during the investigation, leading to the new charge. Crace was indicted by a grand jury on one count of possession of child pornography on Monday. Heavy rains in Pike County have brought floodwaters to Elkhorn City. WIMT reports at least one homeowner is recovering after their home was flooded yesterday afternoon. Irene Stanley has lived in her home on Hatcher Street for more than 4 years.
And I came home and it was about 3 foot. My clothes fell down in the closet and they're just in mud. I always feel hopeful. God's in control. He'll take care of it.
Stanley says her neighbors are helping her clean up the mess, but most of her belongings have been destroyed. Other community members in Elkhorn City who have also experienced flooding say they hope the rain ends soon. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent hopes the city will break ground on its new public safety center by the end of this year. According to Trent, officials have narrowed the list of possible locations for the combined police, fire, and emergency dispatch station to two. However, at this point, the mayor says he can't publicly identify either of them.
And I can't discuss it because that could affect the price of that. However, it'll be in the city limits, very close to where we need to be in the center of the city. If it pans out, we're just working with some different companies to make sure we get all of the variances and all the things we need, because there's a lot of different things that go into this. When you're dealing with a building, it's going to be around 17 to 20,000 square feet.
Trent hopes to announce the location for the new public safety center by this fall. The city wants to spend between $4 and $5 million on the project. After being repeatedly rejected for federal grants, Moorhead Fire Chief Jeff Anderson is pleased the city has decided to go out on its own to buy his department a replacement for its 35-year-old ladder truck. Officials are now talking with various lending agencies as it prepares to spend $1.3 million to purchase a new vehicle. Anderson says he and others of his department have already begun checking out their possible options. He notes they want to get a new ladder truck that can better negotiate Moorhead's many narrow streets.
The one type that we did look at, it drove through our streets, our campus, very well. We're very pleased about the setup on it. And so I know we got some more planning to do, some more spec out to do, but the process, a few more months of getting that together and then looking at going to bid or however the process will be after that.
Even after the money becomes available for a new ladder truck, Anderson estimates it could take about 9 months to a year before his department actually has it. Maysville and Mason County are each receiving $80,000 in grants from the Kentucky Department of Local Government. Mayor David Cartmell says his city will use the money to pay for an energy efficiency audit of its buildings and along with the startup cost associated with the installation of LED lighting in those facilities.
Our total project is $1.5 million. That money comes off the top of it. It'll be like $1.4 million, basically, you know. So, I mean, in the long run, it may be a 10% savings in our entire project, or an 8% savings, or whatever.
Cartmell says over time, the new LED lighting will save Maysville thousands of dollars. Mason County officials plan to perform many of the same kinds of improvements in its facilities. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet will begin a $108,000 project in Ashland on Monday. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says contractors will begin an effort to update traffic signals and install new mast arm poles at the intersection of Blackburn Avenue and 29th Street.
No detours or anything. However, we do want people to know that they will be out there day to day when the weather cooperates to install these new signals and systems. And that will involve some lane closures, and they'll be flagging traffic from time to time.
Due to potential delays, Blair says motorists going through the area should plan accordingly and consider alternate routes. The work is expected to run through June. The majority of Kentucky counties saw an uptick in unemployment last month, with the exception of those within the so-called Golden Triangle. In April, the state says 83 of Kentucky's 120 counties saw a rise in unemployment rates, while 28 declined and 9 remained the same. Education and Workforce Development Cabinet spokeswoman Kim Brannick says the overall rise can be attributed to a higher number of people actively trying to re-enter the workforce. She also says the counties with the lowest jobless rates have something in common.
They're in what we call the Golden Triangle, and they do benefit by being up in Northern Kentucky, Lexington, and Louisville. But there's also, activity going on in those counties.
April's highest unemployment rate was in Magoffin County at 17.3%. The county with the lowest rate was Woodford County, which reported only 3.1% unemployment. Organized labor is fighting back against Kentucky's right-to-work law. The Kentucky State AFL-CIO and Teamsters Local 89 filed a lawsuit today asking a judge to block the law's enforcement. The measure, enacted in January, bans labor unions from collecting mandatory dues from employees they represent in collective bargaining. The suit was filed in Franklin Circuit Court in Frankfort. It claims the law violates the Kentucky Constitution. Defendants are Republican Governor Matt Bevin and Labor Secretary Derek Ramsey. The right-to-work law won final passage over the shouts of hundreds of protesters. It was one of several Republican priorities passed during the first week of the legislative session. Republicans generally say right-to-work laws create jobs, while Democrats contend the laws weaken labor unions. Kentucky will receive more than $500,000 in a settlement with a Johnson & Johnson subsidiary over non-prescription drugs. Attorney General Andy Beshear's office says Kentucky was among 42 states and the District of Columbia involved in the lawsuit. The settlement requires Johnson & Johnson pay a total of $33 million to be divided evenly among the states and the district. The case involves allegations that the company unlawfully promoted the drugs from 2009 to 2011 as complying with manufacturing safety standards. The drugs include Tylenol, Motrin, Benadryl, St. Joseph Aspirin, Sudafed, Pepcid, Mylanta, Rolaids, Zyrtec, and Zyrtec eye drops, all manufactured and distributed by McNeil Consumer Healthcare Division. Bashir's office says the alleged lapses resulted in many recalls of those drugs. Greenup County schools are set to see a drop in state funding after a dip in district enrollment. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the Greenup County School District will see a $159,000 cut in state funding based on projections of daily attendance. Superintendent Sherry Horsley says the district will have to look for ways to shave expenses, but the reduction shouldn't seriously hamper school operations. School officials are concerned, however, about possible federal cuts under President Donald Trump's budget proposal. Horsley says if Title II funding, which pays for additional staff, is axed, the district will have to cut positions. The school board adopted a tentative $23 million general budget on Monday. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The Johnson County school system is paying back 3 years' worth of funding after county residents voted against a nickel tax on Tuesday. WIMT reports the school system is working with the Kentucky Department of Education to return the money it has received from the tax since 2014. Bob Hutchinson is chairman of the Johnson County Board of Education.
We have a lot of agencies that are involved. We'll have to get direction from KD on how to disperse the money. We have to get the sheriff involved. We'll have to get the other agencies involved on how to get this back.
Officials say the tax would have allowed the school system to get additional money from the state, which would go toward updating current schools and building a much-needed new high school. According to KDE requirements, the current high school is supposed to house 716 students, but officials are currently reporting over 1,000 students. The school system is now looking for other sources of funding to complete improvements. State Senator Reggie Thomas is eyeing Congressman Andy Barr's 6th District House seat. As Josh James reports, the Lexington Democrat believes the three-term Republican is vulnerable on health care.
Barr has met with hostile crowds at recent town halls in the district. A key issue driving that turnout is the American Health Care Act, which Barr helped pass through the House, and that hasn't gone unnoticed by at least one possible challenger.
And you want to say to those people, I don't care about your health, I'm just going to repeal the Affordable Care Act?
Thomas tells Spectrum News he sees a frustrated electorate despite Barr's easy path to victory last November. The senator joins Democrats across the country who hope to capitalize on dissatisfaction with President Donald Trump's agenda. Thomas is the first Democrat to officially confirm his interest in the race, though the list of potential opponents is growing. Lexington Mayor Jim Gray has been discussed, along with former State Representative Leslie Combs and U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath. Barr has argued Obama-era health reforms are in a death spiral. A spokesman says right now the congressman is focused on fulfilling campaign promises, not sizing up possible challengers. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Governor Matt Bevin had sharp words for the media in a recent Facebook Live broadcast, saying certain newsrooms in the state don't seem to care about Kentucky. In the Tuesday stream, labeled The Truth Behind Governor Bevin's Media Policy, the chief executive lambasted the Courier-Journal in particular, likening reporters there to cicadas.
They come out, they make a lot of noise, but the truth be told, we have been unbelievably responsive to people from east to west in this state.
Bevin was responding to a Courier-Journal article criticizing his attitude toward the press. The article claims the governor routinely ignores or shuts out journalists, preferring to rely on online communication with friendly media outlets. A newly restored Depression-era mural was unveiled this afternoon at the Rowan County Public Library. The mural, entitled Rural Free Delivery, was first created in 1939 by Frank Weathers Long. It was originally on display at the old Rowan County Post Office, but suffered from significant wear and tear. The city of Morehead hired the McKinney Graves Art Institute to remove, clean, and restore the mural at a cost of $15,000. Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the work put into the piece is an example of how art-friendly his town is.
Well, I think anytime you can preserve something as spectacular as this it's awesome. If you can preserve anything that is a piece of art that is created by a Kentucky artist in Kentucky depicting Kentucky people, it's great.
The mural depicts the residents of an early 20th century Kentucky home reading their mail after the postman departed. It now hangs in the main atrium of the Rowan County Public Library. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain showers, clearing late, lows around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, highs around 80. Tomorrow night, a 30% chance of scattered thunderstorms again, lows around 66 degrees. And on Saturday, the first of our weekend, an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs around 79 degrees. It's currently sitting at 59 degrees in Ashland, as well as in Flemingsburg. It's 56 right now in Inez, 58 in Winchester and in Lexington, and it's 59 degrees here in Moorhead. The time is 4:46. You're tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. On our feature segment this afternoon, 2 years after a forced closure, the Jesse Stewart Lodge at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park this week reopened its doors. Moorhead State Public Radio's Ashley Davidson has the story.
The sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home.
Kentucky can now claim 17 state resort parks once more after the ribbons were cut Tuesday on the newly renovated Jesse Stewart Lodge at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park. The lodge officially reopened after an electrical fire shuttered it in October of 2015, though several of the park's other facilities remained opened after that, such as the campground, the marina, and the trails. Officials hope the reopening of Greenbow's Lodge will help it regain some of the revenue lost while it was being renovated. Donnie Holland is the commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Parks.
Well, the park was impacted greatly by the closing of the lodge. The income for the park was cut by 75-80%. You know, the campground was still open, the marina was open. So it had a profound impact for the last year and a half on this park. So hopefully that business will now come back.
Several businesses worked on the renovations at the Jesse Stewart Lodge, including Pax Incorporated from Moorhead. Over the 2 years it was closed, several improvements were made to the facility.
Besides the repairs to the electrical system and the roof, the park staff has repainted and updated all of the 36 rooms. So that shows a dedication to this park and to this lodge. We have new meeting space in the lodge. The restaurant is now open for business. More work on the outside of the building is scheduled as part of Governor Bevin's Refreshing the Finest campaign.
Governor Matt Bevin has put forth an $18 million plan called Refreshing the Finest, aimed at bettering all of Kentucky's state parks. That's likely just the first step in an overall renovation project for the parks that officials believe will cost upwards of $240 million. With the reopening of the lodge comes an influx of events at Greenbow Lake State Resort Park. Stephanie Poplin is the park's manager.
I hope you go home and you tell your friends and your family about us. Tell your neighbors. Bring them out to visit, to attend one of our special events, such as the Summer Music Series, a murder mystery dinner show, or even attend the Jesse Stewart Weekend.
She says for more information on the Jesse Stewart Lodge and Greenbow Lake State Resort Park, you can visit parks.ky.gov. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Ashley Davidson.
Come a-knockin' at the door, then my old Kentucky home. Good night.
The time is 4:49. You're still tuned in to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio, and we've got a check of sports for you in 30 seconds.
Support for Moorhead State Public Radio comes from the 25th anniversary Southern Fried Poetry Slam coming to Louisville, Kentucky for the first time. Teams and individuals compete in the Festival of Poetic Skill June 7th through the 10th. Festival passes and individual tickets are available online at kentuckycenter.org. Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State baseball team continues action in the OVC tournament at 5 o'clock down in Oxford, Alabama, as the Eagles square off with Murray State. MSU's record improved to 35-21 after the Eagles won their first-round game last night. Behind home runs from Will Schneider, Tyler Neiman, and Ryan Kent, Moorhead downed Austin Peay 9-4. Coach Mike McGuire believes his Eagles will be a tough out in the tournament because of their ability to score runs.
Our first four hitters in our lineup are all conference guys, and they're, you know, rightfully so, and you know, they're all good players. But I've said all along, the bottom of our lineup is pretty strong as well.
During their recent series with Murray State in Moorhead, the Eagles took two of three games from the Racers. The Cincinnati Reds wrap up their four-game battle for Ohio with the Indians tonight in Cleveland. The start time of that game has been postponed. Thanks to a two-run ninth inning last night, the Reds rallied to beat the Tribe 4-3. Billy Hamilton scored the game winner on Zach Cozart's single after coming all the way around from first base, while saying it was a nice win for his team and marked just the third win in the last 10 games for manager Brian Price's Reds.
It's a weird place to be right now because we're really playing good. We've given up a lot of runs early in the game, but we're in every game still. And the losses, you know, have piled up here in the last 2 weeks. However, it doesn't feel like we're playing terrible baseball. It actually feels like we're playing really well, with the exception of an inning. But those innings have been the precursor to us losing games.
That's Price on Fox Sports Ohio. 2-2 Tim Adelman will pitch tonight for the Reds. Cleveland will counter with 2-1 Mike Clevenger. Some afternoon scores from around the major leagues today. Pittsburgh beat Atlanta 9-4. Seattle topped Washington 4-2. Tampa Bay beat the Angels 4-0. The Rockies and Phillies are currently tied at 1 in the 11th inning. And the Cubs lead the Giants 3-1 in the 8th. The Ryan County baseball team is preparing for next week's 16th Region Baseball Tournament at Boyd County. Coach Keith Prater's 22-14 Vikings will continue their postseason run after capturing this week's 61st District Championship after routing Menifee County 12-0 and ripping Bath County 9-2.
It's a big confidence builder going in as a champion, and we've talked about that before. The luck of the regional tournament is that the winner of the district gets a loser of another district, and not that that's makes the road any easier to get to a region championship, but it does give you confidence knowing that you won your last game and they lost theirs.
Round, Boyd County, Russell, and Wes Carter were the winners of the 16th Region's four districts this week. Moorhead State women's basketball star Ariel McKee is recovering after being injured in a recent in-home accident. Coach Greg Todd says the 5'9 senior forward had surgery to repair a tendon in her hand after it was sliced by a knife while she was washing dishes.
She is out right now and will be out this summer, but should be able to get back. We're hoping she's just starting to run now, hoping that she can get a basketball in her hands probably about at least by the 1st of September, if not earlier.
McKee averaged 11 points and 7 rebounds a game during her junior season with the Eagles. The woman at the center of the Louisville basketball sex scandal will not face criminal charges. A Jefferson County grand jury declined to indict Katina Powell. The panel agreed with the advice of the Commonwealth's attorney that there is insufficient evidence to bring criminal charges against Powell. Larry Wilder is Powell's attorney.
The key is the grand jury felt that apparently that they did not think that the Commonwealth attorney could prove beyond a reasonable doubt any allegations of any crime.
The grand jury also declined to indict Andre McGee, the former UofL basketball staffer involved in the scandal. Powell claims that she hosted strippers and sex parties at the men's basketball dorm. She still faces a civil lawsuit. Former Kentucky basketball star Isaiah Briscoe remains hopeful that he'll get a shot at the NBA. The 6'3 guard who left UK after two seasons to turn pro is said to be a long shot to get drafted next month, and may have to attempt to make the NBA as a free agent. For Briscoe, that's no big deal.
I'm from North, man. I've been doing this all my life. It's nothing new. You know, I've been fighting my way out. You know, whatever, like you said, scratching all that. I mean, this is nothing new to me. I mean, you know, where I'm from, not too many people make it to here, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm out here and I'm fighting, but that's what I'm used to.
In his final season at UK, Briscoe averaged over 12 points, nearly 5.5 rebounds, and over 4 assists per contest. The Cleveland Cavaliers will look to lock up their third straight trip to the NBA Finals tonight when they visit Boston for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, leading the series 3-1. The big story going into the game, though, is Cavs forward LeBron James needing 28 points to pass Michael Jordan for first place on the all-time postseason scoring list. But James calls it no big deal.
You guys are going to have the conversations about who's the greatest of all time and things of that nature. It doesn't matter to me. You know, at the end of the day, it's so funny that the conversation is always talked about in the NBA about who's the greatest. It's great for barbershops, but, you know, for me, I'm just trying to put my mark on the game and leave a legacy behind so I can inspire the next group of kids that want to play the game the right way.
A win tonight for Cleveland will set up the third straight matchup between the Warriors and the Cavs in the finals, which begins on June the 1st. Finally in sports, the NFL announced this week that players will be able to use the football as a prop for their end zone celebrations following touchdowns next season. along with not finding players for some celebrations that have been penalized in the past. Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis is not a fan of the rule change.
This is a team game, and why we want to give in, I don't understand, we want to give in to individual celebrations. We had a good standard, and the whole standard has always been you want to teach people how to play the game the correct way and go about it the correct way, and that's not a very good example for young people.
Lewis is getting a lot of criticism for the comments after the Bengals recently drafted running back Joe Mixon, who was shown on camera punching a woman in the face and knocking her out during his time at Oklahoma University. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-290-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks traded higher as Wall Street remained positive about the Federal Reserve's plan to trim its balance sheet, while tech stocks climbed, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 70.19 at 21,082.61. The S&P 500 set a new all-time closing high, finishing up 10.64 at 2415.03, and the NASDAQ Composite also closed at an all-time high, finishing with a gain of 42.23 at 6205.26. New York Stock Exchange of breadth was 15 to 14 in favor of winning stocks over losers. And as mentioned, the Fed announced its plan yesterday to actually roll their balance sheet off in a gradual manner. And, of course, the Fed's balance sheet is currently over $4 trillion. And many analysts are satisfied that the Fed's announced method of reducing their balance sheet will not be disruptive to the credit markets and cause interest rates to go up too fast. In today's trading, the so-called FANG stocks, consisting of Netflix, Alphabet, Facebook, and Amazon, all rose, with Amazon shares nearing the $1,000 mark. Wall Street also kept an eye on oil prices after OPEC agreed to extend existing production cuts by 9 months. That actually disappointed some investors who had hoped that OPEC might reduce output even further to drain a global glut that has depressed markets for almost 3 years. And U.S. crude oil for July delivery fell on the back of this news as it dropped nearly 5% to settle at $48.90 a barrel. U.S. Treasury bond prices rose, and the benchmark 10-year yield finished at about 2.25%, while the short-term 2-year note yield declined slightly to finish at 1.29%. Gold was up $2.30 an ounce, finishing at $1,255.40. And among Dow stocks, your best performers were Travelers and Microsoft. Your worst performers were DuPont and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Best Buy and PVH, and the worst performers were Signet Jewelers and Transocean. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 33 cents at $66.66, CSX up $1.46 at $53.79, AEP up 61 cents at $70.81, AK Steel up 10 cents at $5.95, Marathon Petroleum down 67 cents at $52.46, and U.S. Bancorp is down 3 cents to finish at $51.76. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, and with our feature segment, Ashley Davidson. From WUKY, Josh James. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.